Sunday the 5th of February 2017, 9 o'clock service. Sermon series, Stories We Love. Sermon title, David and Goliath. Bible reading, 1 Samuel chapter 17, starting at verse 1. Talk by Neil Wellesby.
The reading this morning is taken from the book of Samuel, first book of Samuel, chapter 17, starting at verse 1. Now the Philistines gathered their forces for war and assembled at Sokar in Judah. They pitched camp at Ephes Damin between Sokar and Azekah. Saul and the Israelites assembled and camped in the valley of Elah and drew up their battle line to meet the Philistines. The Philistines occupied one hill and the Israelites another, with the valley between them. A champion named Goliath, who was from Gath, came out of the Philistine camp. He was over 9 feet tall. He had a bronze helmet on his head and wore a coat of scale armor of bronze weighing 5,000 shekels. On his legs he wore bronze greaves, and a bronze javelin was slung on his back. His spear shaft was like a weaver's rod, and its iron point weighed 600 shekels. His shield-bearer went ahead of him. Goliath stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel, "Why do you come out and line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine, and are you not the servants of Saul? Choose a man and have him come down to me. If he is able to fight and kill me, we will become your subjects. But if I overcome him and kill him, you will become our subjects and serve us." Then the Philistine said, "This day I defy the ranks of Israel. Give me a man and let us fight each other." On hearing the Philistine's words, Saul and all the Israelites were dismayed and terrified. Now David was the son of an Ephrathite named Jesse, who was from Bethlehem in Judah. Jesse had 8 sons, and in Saul's time he was old and well advanced in years. Jesse's 3 oldest sons had followed Saul to the war. The firstborn was Eliab, the second Abinadab, and the third Shammah. David was the youngest. The 3 oldest followed Saul, but David went back and forth from Saul to tend his father's sheep at Bethlehem. For 40 days the Philistine came forward every morning and evening and took his stand. Now Jesse said to his son David, "Take this ephah of roasted grain and these 10 loaves of bread for your brothers and hurry to their camp. Take along 10 cheeses to the commander of their unit. See how your brothers are and bring back some assurance from them. They are with Saul and all the men of Israel in the valley of Elah, fighting against the Philistines." Early in the morning David left the flock with a shepherd, loaded up and set out as Jesse had directed. He reached the camp as the army was going out to its battle positions, shouting the war cry. Israel and the Philistines were drawing up their lines facing each other. David left his things with the keeper of supplies, ran to the battle lines and greeted his brothers. As he was talking with them, Goliath, the Philistine champion from Gath, stepped out from his lines and shouted his usual defiance, and David heard it. When the Israelites saw the man, they all ran from him in great fear. Now the Israelites had been saying, "Do you see how this man keeps coming out? He comes out to defy Israel. The king will give great wealth to the man who kills him. He will also give him his daughter in marriage and will exempt his father's family from taxes in Israel." David asked the men standing near him, "What will be done for the man who kills this Philistine and removes this disgrace from Israel? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that should defy the armies of the living God?" They repeated to him what they had been saying and told him, "This is what will be done for the man who kills him." When Eliab, David's oldest brother, heard him speaking with the men, he burned with anger at him and asked, "Why have you come down here? And with whom did you leave those few sheep in the desert? I know how conceited you are and how wicked your heart is. You came down only to watch the battle." "Now what have I done?" said David. "Can't I even speak?" He then turned away to someone else and brought up the same matter, and the men answered him as before. What David said was overheard and reported to Saul, and Saul sent for him. David said to Saul, "Let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him." Saul replied, "You are not able to go out against this Philistine and fight him. You are only a boy, and he has been fighting man from his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it and struck it and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, because he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord be with you." Then Saul dressed David in his own tunic. He put a coat of armor on him and a bronze helmet on his head. David fastened on his sword over the tunic and tried walking about because he was not used to them. "I cannot go in these," he said to Saul, "because I am not used to them." So he took them off. When he took his staff in his hand, chose 5 smooth stones from the stream, put them in the pouch of his shepherd's bag, and with his sling in his hand, approached the Philistine. Meanwhile, the Philistine, with his shield bearer in front of him, kept coming closer to David. He looked David over and saw that he was only a boy, ruddy and handsome, and he despised him. He said to David, "Am I a dog that you come with me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. "Come here," he said, "and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field." David said to the Philistine, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will hand you over to me, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head. Today I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds of the air and the beasts of the earth, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. All those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands." As the Philistine moved closer to attack him, David ran quickly towards the battle line to meet him. And this is the word of the Lord.
Good morning. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord our God and our Redeemer. This is one of those difficult ones because it's a very, very familiar story, isn't it? I mean, most of you maybe have done it in Sunday school, or you might even have done it in school. And you sort of look at it and you think, well, actually, that is quite interesting, but it's all just about David and Goliath, isn't it? Well, Charles Spurgeon, who was a great Victorian preacher, points out that actually David faced maybe 2 more traumatic experiences before he even got to Goliath. And he reckoned actually the Goliath bit was the easy bit, because the 2 bits that came before were much more challenging. So what I've done is I've actually entitled what I'm talking about this morning as Facing Giants. Facing Giants. As we heard there, David was sent by his father Jesse. 1 Samuel 17 verse 7 says, "Now Jesse said to David, 'Take this ephah of roasted grain and these 10 loaves of bread for your brothers and hurry to their camp. Take along these 10 cheeses to the commander of the unit. See how your brothers are and bring back some assurance from them.'" Jesse wanted news of his family. He wanted to find out how his 3 eldest sons were doing. And obviously he also was under obligation to provide food for the army that was fighting. So, naturally, he sent David. He was the youngest. He was there. But when David got there, he obviously found something rather interesting but very puzzling going on, because where was this scene? The 2 armies were there, battle lines drawn up, and then this 9-foot character wandered out dressed in this amazing armour, fully covered, and started screaming abuse at Israel. "Who are you going to send to fight me? Who are you going to send who's going to defeat me? Who are you going to send to win this battle against me?" And he'd been doing this for, notice, 40 days. 40 days is actually a really significant biblical number. Jesus spent 40 days in the wilderness. Israel spent 40 years in the wilderness. 40 days Goliath was coming out before the people, threatening them, cajoling them, challenging them. He wanted a champion fight. Where is your champion? Who is going to stand against me? Who is going to fight me? And David was all puzzled by this. He'd left the things with the keeper of supplies, and there was Goliath, stepped out, shouting these things. And what was the response of the Israelites? Get me out of here. Get me out of here. I'm not going anywhere near that guy. They all fled. They all ran off in great fear. And David asked this rather important question. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Who is this guy who thinks he's... And this was coming from a small lad. 16, 17 years old. Not even a full man. But he was standing there and asking this question. Who is this that he should defy the armies of the living God? Well, Eliab, David's oldest brother, was hearing all this. And what does he say? He says, why have you come here? And with whom did you leave those few sheep in the wilderness? I know how conceited you are and how wicked your heart is. You came down here only to watch the battle. Family relationships, what are they like, eh? Family relationships, yeah? Big bro, he's having a go. He's telling little bro, go home. You shouldn't even be here. Was it because he was worried about him, that he was going to get caught up in it all? Or was it that Eliab was actually pretty jealous? Because if you go back to chapter 16, you discover that Samuel had been told by God to go to the house of Jesse and to anoint who was to be the future king. And all of Jesse's children had been paraded before Samuel, starting with Eliab, and working the way down, and God said, not this one, not this one, not this one, not this one. Ow. Are there any more? Yeah, there's David. He's out in the fields watching the sheep. Send for him, please. So they sent for David. He gets wheeled in. The youngest, the smallest. God says, that's the one I want. Anoint him. Anoint him. That's exactly what Samuel had to do. He had to anoint him. So was Eliab jealous about it? He'd been there when the anointing had took place. He'd seen what God had done. He'd been passed over. But he was there with his two other brothers. They were fighting the fight. They committed themselves to Saul to fight. And what was David's response? You know, what do brothers normally do? Bit of a tussle? Bit of a fight? Get involved? Give it a bit of... Well, not David. He just turned round and ignored him. And went after and asked some other guys, what's the news? What's all this that's going on? Well, as we heard, Saul got to hear about what David had been saying. And Saul's a really interesting character. He was the son of Kish. He was a wealthy Benjamite. He was known, so we find out in 1 Samuel 9, for being very tall and for being very handsome. And he was initially chosen by God to be king. And previously the prophet Samuel had anointed him. The divine lot had been cast. And Saul had fought a successful battle against the Ammonites. We hear, read it out in 1 Samuel 11. And his primary action was to be fighting against the Philistines and the Amalekites. So one has to wonder, why was Saul not doing what Saul should have been doing? Why was Saul not being the champion for his people? Why wasn't he actually out there doing his bit? He'd been anointed by God. He was the guy who'd been chosen. Why wasn't he there fighting the good fight, as we've just been singing? Leading the battle, leading his troops. But no, he, like everybody else, was cowering. He was out the back. And he was making this fantastic offer about no taxes and giving his daughter in marriage and please, please, somebody come forward and fight this battle for me? Well, the thing is that Saul had actually failed in his covenant responsibilities to God. And he'd failed in two key areas. Saul, as we discover in 1 Samuel 13, had failed to respect God's transcendent holiness. How had he done that? He took on the role of not just being a king, but also of being a priest. He decided it was his right to sacrifice as a priest did to God. Not his role, not something he should have been doing. He also didn't respect God's moral holiness. He actually disobeyed God's sovereign commands. He was sent to fight the Amalekites and he was told to destroy absolutely everything. He didn't do that. He didn't destroy the king of the Amalekites. He brought him back as a captive. He didn't destroy all the animals that he was supposed to have done. He also brought them back. And then tried to wheedle his way out with Samuel by saying, well, actually, we've just brought them back so we can sacrifice them to God. And Samuel said to him, you weren't asked to do that. You were asked to destroy everything. You have failed God. And so Samuel had been sent to Saul. And we read in 1 Samuel 15 that effectively God removed his spirit from him. He removed his anointing. And Saul was no longer the king that he was supposed to be. And that had passed over to David. As here stood this small lad, full of God's spirit, and he said to Saul, let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him. So what did Saul say to David? He says, you are not able to go against this Philistine and fight him. You are only a young man. He has been a warrior from youth. Once again, somebody else is putting David down. David's hero, his king. A guy he was actually doing quite a bit of work with, if we go back into the previous chapter, because as the spirit had left Saul, Saul got into raging tempers. And so a shout had gone out. Somebody who could play the lyre and bring soothing to the king. David was that chosen one because he was really gifted musically. And he was working with Saul. But Saul was putting him down. Saul was saying to him, you're too small. You've got no experience of battle. You've got no right going anywhere near it. Two really challenging things. Big bro put him down. His hero, his king, had put him down. What was David's response? David said to Saul, your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it, and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. David, even in his youth, went back to his experiences. He went back to the things that he'd previously done. And he just spoke the truth. This is what I've done. This is what I'm capable of doing. Is this uncircumcised Philistine? He's just going to be like a bear or a lion. He's defied the armies of God. The Lord, who has rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear, he's going to rescue me from the hand of this Philistine. He was absolutely sure of his faith. He was absolutely sure of his relationship with God. And he was absolutely certain what God was going to do for him. So he didn't walk into this in any faith because his relationship was so good. And so when Saul tried to dress him up in all his armour to go and face Goliath in all his armour, David was just there going, I can't move. This is no good. I can't fight with this lot on. What am I going to do? Okay, take it all off. Let's go back to my security. Let's go back to what I know. Let's go back to what I know I can do. So he took his staff. He took his sling. And as he strolled along, he picked up 5 round pebbles from a brook and put them into his shepherd's pouch. And he just stood there, marched out, and went before Goliath. Goliath's response, "Am I a dog that you come at me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his God. "Come here," he said, "and I will give your flesh to the birds and the wild animals." David, absolutely certain in his faith, says, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I will strike you down and cut off your head. This very day I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds and the wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. All those who gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves. For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into my hands." Now, as you're all aware, David takes out his sling, takes one of the pebbles, loads it up, and is an amazing shot, and hits Goliath in the only one place that's not protected, right there, top of the bridge of the nose. His helmet didn't come far enough, and the stone to go straight in, and straight into his brain. Chung, Goliath, 9 foot and all, straight over, dead. The battle was in the hands of the Lord. One small pebble, one small sling, one small guy. None of it should have happened, but historically it did. Who won the day according to David? Well, not him. God had won the day. God had gone before him. God had won the battle. God had set it straight. This is what was to be happening. He was not to be defied. He was and is the God of gods. Israel, at this stage, once again, had won and moved forward. So what does this teach us about facing giants? What we've had family conflicts. We've had hero worship with Saul. We've had what seemed to be a completely insurmountable problem. So what are our insurmountable problems? Maybe there's somewhere out there that we've said we can't actually forgive. Maybe there's somewhere out there that actually we need to forgive ourselves in. Those become insurmountable problems, don't they? Maybe it's that we've got some sort of compulsive addictive personality, that we're bound by drugs, or we're bound by alcohol, or we're bound by gambling, or we're bound by pornography. Maybe it's we have a depressive personality, and all the day holds for us is a load and load of terrors. It's really difficult even getting out of the door for some people. Maybe those are the giants that we face. It doesn't have to be a 9 foot guy. It can be anything like that. Each of those can be our giants. Each of those can be things that we need to defeat. So what did David do? How did he then, as we've just been learning, how did he respond to these giants? Sometimes with some people, when they're goading us, when they're having a go at us, it could be a boss, it could be anybody, maybe we just need to ignore them. That's exactly what David did with his eldest bro. He ignored him. He knew he was right in God. He just ignored him. He walked away from the situation. He didn't get involved in it. Sometimes we need to do that. We need to ignore and walk away. But with many things, we need to face up to it. What did David do when he had to face up to it? What did he do when he faced up to Saul? He just recognised who he was in God. He recognised where he had come from and what God had previously done for him. He focused on that, and he knew that he had to move forward in the strength and the power that God's Spirit had given him. That's his way forward. And he was seeking God. He was wise in choosing things that he was actually comfortable with. He didn't get pulled out to doing things that were way outside his experience. He just kept with God. He kept with the things that he'd learnt about. Lots of this stuff is actually expressed by David in the Psalms that he wrote. The guy was no saint at all. As we discover his later history, this guy becomes a murderer. He becomes an adulterer. But within that, where he stays consistently is he keeps coming back to God. He defeats his giants by coming back to God. Like David, if we've given our life to Christ, we too have the Spirit of God within us, as David had the Spirit of God within him. St. John's Gospel tells us it is the work of the Spirit to reveal to us the things that we do wrong, but also to reveal to us the power that God has for us. Jesus says, if you just have faith as small as a mustard seed, a mustard seed is one of the smallest seeds that you'll ever come across. It's like a tiny speck on the end of your finger. It really is incredibly small. But if that's planted, it grows into a big tree. What Jesus says about planting things is basically that some things have to, in our lives, they have to die. Why? So they can regrow. They have to die so they can regrow. That's exactly what happens with seeds. The seed of faith has to die so it can regrow. And that faith can take us on in terms of facing our giants, in terms of walking with God and doing the things that God wants us to do, empowering us to overcome, to be the people that God has called us to be the people that God wants us to be the people that brings in God's kingdom in the world around us. And at the same time as that also, to be doing the will of the Father, as Bob was saying last week, 24/7, walking with God, 24/7, talking with God, 24/7, doing the things that God wants us to be doing, not my will, but thy will. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you for this amazing story of David. We thank you that inside of it all, we can discover the reality of what it means to be facing our own giants. But inside that, Lord, it's also about us walking with you steadfastly and sure, as David did. Sure in our faith, knowing that you have called us and set us apart to be your people, to do your will, to the glory and praise of your name. Amen. Amen.